Well, good afternoon again on another absolutely beautiful Sabbath. A little cooler today than it has been the rest of the week. I really don't want to get my electric bill at the end of the month for all the air conditioning. I've tried to use it so sparingly, but it was just, you know, when it's up in the 90s and it's humid, there's not much of a choice. It's life or fight the electric company. So you pick life. So, okay, last week we went through how do I fear God? And we learned a lot of interesting things in that. And I learned it along with you. Preparing that, I did not understand fully what the fear of God was. But we know it now. And we know that that fear of God is an automatic thing that is given with the Holy Spirit, is part of that Holy Spirit. So that when you receive God's Holy Spirit, you do have the fear of God. And that allows you to start to become obedient to Him. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that. And we went through that a lot last week. And we learned that it is part of that Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have the fear of God, or that reverence of God. It's in there. It's already there. Now, it'll continue to develop as long as you live. And it should get stronger and stronger. We found out that Satan is and gives that terror. That's the type of fear that he has. And that's what he has inside of him. And that's what he promotes. But today we want to go into another subject that goes right along with the fear of God. And the title of this is, How Do I Have Faith? How do I have faith? All right, we have the fear of God. We have His Spirit. But how do I have faith? We've been told a lot about faith over the last number of years. For myself, over 40 years, I've been hearing about faith. How do we have faith? And is that faith up to us? Is it something that we can conjure up? Is it something that we can do? Did Abraham, because he was the father of the faithful, and he's our prime example, did Abraham have so much faith on his own that God was so impressed with him that he used him? Because isn't that basically what we've been told? Now, that was just the bottom line. But isn't it because of Abraham's faith that he succeeded, that he obeyed God, that he is going to be the father of the faithful, and many nations are going to come from him? We've all been told in the past that we need more faith. You just need more faith. When you get into a situation, have more faith. After all, Abraham did. How come you don't? Then we were told, we're told to have more faith, and then we were told about Abraham and made to feel guilty because we didn't have his faith. And isn't that right? Now, people and ministers from the past may want to say, oh, we didn't do that. Oh, yes, you did. You did because that's all you knew about faith. And all the ministers of the past, all they knew was fear religion. And this was part of it. God did not give them this knowledge and information. You know, those who told us about faith were only little helpers. They're just little helpers of God's true servant, who is Mr. Herbert Armstrong. These men were not ordained to do some great work for God. They were just ordained or set apart to help Mr. Armstrong and help convey what God was doing and working through Mr. Armstrong and get that out to the local areas. They're just little helpers. They weren't set aside to do some big work for God. You know, we've had that all mixed up in the past. Some people looked on these men as they were gods, like they were gods, and they weren't. They were ordained by or through or by the approval of Mr. Armstrong to help him out in the field. God didn't work through any of these men. He worked through Mr. Armstrong. None of these men out in the field ever had revelations. None of them. None of them had any new truth. None of them had a better way of explaining it. They did what they were taught, and they did it from Mr. Armstrong. So we need to get that into perspective. These little helpers never knew more than God's servant, did they? None of them did. Not one of them. And they never will. They should be respected and they should be honored because they've been put in a position to help God's servant. But God works through his servant, not his helpers. The helpers only help the servant. It wasn't given to Mr. Armstrong to fully understand what faith was back then. It wasn't the time. It really wasn't the time. And we've seen these seven eras all come now. It wasn't his time to understand that. He knew the first part, and boy, we stand on that first part that he taught us. And he trained us very well because he was God's true servant. But it is now time that God's servant reveals the truth about what faith is and how faith works with you. You know, you're not hearing it anywhere else. You're only hearing it here. And right now we're known as the Church Outreach Program. And any of you who have not received that tape on the fear of God, and we had a series of three sermons before that on how do I pray. You know, what goes into your prayers? What's that all about? If you want to hear those, write in and ask for those to the Church Outreach Program, P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, E-L-G-I-N, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. And write in. And we'll be more than happy to send that to you. You know, we as first fruits, we have something far greater than anything that Abraham had or ever will have. Do you know that? Yes, he is that example of the father of the faithful and one of the original ones that God used. But you, my friends, as first fruits, have something much greater than that. And we're going to go into this today about what the fear of God is all about. And you're going to see things that I think that you've never seen before. Now, most of you in the congregation here know most of this, because we have gone through this in part here and there during different sermons and different holy days, but we haven't done a sermon just devoted to faith, and that's what we're doing today. And you'll pick up the rest as you hear other things later. We want to start off here in Proverbs 14. Now, this is scripture we used last week about the fear of God. I want to point something out here. It's one reason I used this last week. In Proverbs 14, starting in verse 26, it says, and this, of course, is talking about that spirit. When you receive that spirit and that fear of God, this is what happens. In the fear of the Lord is strong, or translated, great confidence. It's great confidence. God gives you great confidence. Strong confidence. Something that you haven't had before. Because you know who you are, and you know where you're going, and you know where the world is going, and you certainly know where Satan is going. And his children shall have a place of refuge. And don't we all have that in this gospel of peace that God has given us? In verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You know, imagine these words, the fountain of life. That's what it's all about, is the fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. And he keeps us from that evil one, Satan. Pardon me. But remember that when the Spirit is present, you have strong or great confidence. So what is faith? If we're going to talk about faith, let's let the Bible define what faith is. What is faith? We all know where we're going, don't we? Do I have to give you the scripture? Well, I will anyway. It's Hebrews 11. We all know this, but there's a part in here that I think that is going to surprise you. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, this is the definition. But remember what we went through last week. All those scriptures about the fear of God and the scripture we just read. It says, now faith is the substance, better translated even in your own margin, as confidence. Confidence. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we'll go on. For by it the elders obtained a good report. He's talking here about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, and Noah, and Moses. They all had a good report, didn't they? Well, it's because of this faith that we're looking into. That's the reason. It says in verse 3, through faith we understand, and this is what you now understand, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, with this true plan of salvation that we and we alone have, and now are beginning to share with others, we know with confidence who made this universe, and why he made it, and why he made it the way he made it, and why all of this has transpired on this earth. We know the others and all these other groups are still guessing. That's all they're doing, is guessing. They don't know, because they really don't know Jesus Christ, and they really don't know the Father, because they don't really know the true plan of salvation. They think they do, and I thought I did too. But we didn't. See, I'm never hard on the other organizations. I'm never hard on their knowledge, because that's the only knowledge that I had too. How can I be hard on them when that's all I knew? And if God had not revealed this to me, I would know exactly what they do. But now I don't judge them, and I don't have to judge them because of the knowledge. So they'll learn. They'll understand later. But it's by this faith. Let's turn over to Romans. We'll learn a little bit about faith, and then we'll see some examples. It's going to be a little different than what has been told to you in the past. And you know what? Under it all, when you hear this, most of you, especially if you're hearing it for the first time, you're going to breathe a little sigh of relief, because you're going to start to understand faith as you've never understood it before. We're going to get it out of the realm of fear religion. Now in Romans 14, Paul's going through some things here. And it was a controversy about what to eat, not to eat, you know, what to offend. We don't want to offend this person by eating this. That's for a different time. We want to concentrate on verse 23. And he goes through in here about, you know, you're damned if you eat and you should have faith and all that. But we come down to the last sentence in verse 23. Because this is in the Holy Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. So Romans 14, verse 23. It says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Yeah, that's a big statement. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a big, big statement. Do you know what that all encompasses? See, a lot of people are scratching their heads right now. Well, I can't really mean that. I don't know. Just because somebody doesn't have quite enough faith, does that mean that it's sin? Yes! Yes. You know, it means what it says. But for most of you out there, you don't know what faith is yet. So you're putting wrong definitions on the word faith. No, it's a very clear statement. It should have been said, it was said, and it's been recorded for all time. And people 20 billion years from now will read this in the kingdom of God and say, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And they'll say, "Amen." Well, I don't think we'll have Pentecostals there, you know. But they're going to say, "Yes, I agree with it." Amen is just a matter of, I agree with that statement. I'll put my name to that. I agree with it. Let's see why he said that. Let's get a little background of what God says about faith. What he does with it. How he controls it. What he does. What is this? We're already in Romans. Let's go back to Romans 12, page or two over. I know we're breaking into different story flows, but you will see if you want to study later that we're not taking anything out of context. We don't do that. We used to. We used to take a little here and a little there, and make it fit into our theory, and then, wow, we came up with our theory. And God says, of course, the exact opposite. He says, here a little, there a little, line upon line there. He says, that's the way I snare people. That's the way they fall backwards on their back. That's the way he snares them. Continue to read that. I believe it's in Isaiah somewhere. You know, we've even misused the scripture that tells us not to do it that way. Always. And Mr. Armstrong always told us to read it in context. And that's what you have to do. We just don't have the time right now to be reading the whole chapter. We're just picking out the things about faith right here. In Romans 12, starting in verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But, and he's giving some principles here, but, this is where we want to focus, but to think soberly, accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God must give the faith, and he measures it by his will. This is what he's saying. It's according to God. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Are you beginning to get the idea that maybe you have a little less to do with faith than what you thought you did? If you're thinking that way, we're all on the right track. We're going down the right track. We're not going to be derailed here. Because it is God who gives the faith. You can't have faith. What have you ever done righteous in your whole life? Nothing. You all should say, nothing. I've tried. Yeah, well, close is only good in hand grenades and horseshoes, you know. But you didn't succeed, did you? You really didn't. Let's be honest with ourselves. How do we get this faith? How does this faith come along? Let's learn more about this faith. We're in Romans. Let's stay in Romans. Another page or two back here. To Romans 10. Romans 10 is a very good principle here. And I haven't realized how important this is myself. But you know, when you read it in the Word of God, you can't get away from it. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, it just kind of comes to me in the night. No, it doesn't come to you in the night. You know? How are they going to hear without a preacher? This comes right back to God's government. God always deals through his government. God is government. And he always provides a servant. Always. And that servant always has a message, doesn't he? In recent history, Herbert Armstrong had a message, didn't he? It was different than anyone else had ever heard before. Now, when Joe DeCotch Sr. came along, guess what? He had a message too, didn't he? And boy, that was a different message than any of us ever heard, wasn't it? But he was God's servant, and he did accomplish the beginning of the Laodicean era of the church and put them on that course. Now they are without any servant. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way God has had this plan. It wasn't a mistake that Mr. Armstrong chose Mr. DeCotch. Any of us who were around knew that he was going to choose him, and we all knew, no, no, no! If you want this to carry on the way you've been doing it, Mr. Armstrong, don't choose that man. It's not going to happen. And Mr. Armstrong was led by God's Spirit. And he says, I don't think it should be Mr. DeCotch. He knew that too, but he says, he's the only one God's inspiring me to choose. So I have to go with what God's doing. That's why he told them. Sell the jet. Close the colleges. The work is over. He knew Joe wasn't going to continue. But he knew he had to choose him. And we see now that that was absolutely inspired by God Almighty. Now, some of you who went out there and started your own organizations, you wanted to carry on. But you didn't ask God if he wanted it to carry on. You just wanted to do it. You were just Mr. Armstrong's little helpers. And when the true servant was taken away for you, we see where all you ran. It really isn't a very good report card, boys. You've all started your own little boys' club out there to take care of the ministry. Well, the ministry isn't the ministry anymore. Mr. Armstrong doesn't need his little helpers anymore. And after all, you all left the church anyway, didn't you? Think about it, because that's the truth. Let's keep going. You know, I don't have an axe to grind against anyone, but I do have to tell the truth. I went to college with many, many of those who are serving out in the field, and I love them, but they're not doing it the proper way. Verse 15, And how shall they teach except they be sent? See? These preachers have to be sent. They have to be trained. They have to be sent. That means there has to be government. There has to be order. God always does an order. And he always presents at each time his servant and his revelations and a message. That's what you're hearing today. So except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that is what you are hearing from the church outreach program. And that's what you're hearing from me. And you're hearing a good message. You're hearing the gospel of peace that you haven't heard before. And you're hearing glad tidings of good things. And God sets apart his servants with that message. Going on, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They haven't all done that. And some of the old prophets, you know, said, Lord, who hath believed our report? You know, they went out and preached it. They witnessed it. They did their job. Well, it doesn't mean everyone's always going to listen. It says in verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to hear. It's got to be preached to you. You know, I personally wish myself, because I didn't want this job. I didn't seek for this. I tried to run away when everyone else had their hand up saying, I'll take it, I'll take it, I want to do it. But God chooses his servant. Nobody votes on it. And if you get the implications on that, good. Because people who vote on someone who's supposed to be over a church are a bunch of idiots. That's all. They're spiritual idiots, blinded. And you know what? The shame of their nakedness spiritually is starting to come through, isn't it? I'm sorry I have to say that. But all in good time. You know, when God begins to bring the true Philadelphians back together in this work, and they can't go anywhere else. There's nowhere else for them to go. This is where God is working. This is where his servant is, and this is where his message is. All of you in the congregation know that. That's why you're here. But the others have no other place to go. And they're going to start to realize how foolish these other organizations have been, and how foolish they are. And they're going to really come to appreciate what the Father really has in store for them. You know, sometimes we need that difference. and God is providing it, because now we are preparing the bride. We're starting to put on the clothes for the wedding. And that's what's happening. Now, I looked up the word hearing here. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hearing. You can't sit home and get this, friends. If you think you are, you're just deceiving yourself in a bunch of self-righteousness and pride and vanity. And we know who sponsors that, don't we? Hearing means an audience. And it means preached. Something like we've always done on the Sabbath, isn't it? And we learn, we had a sermon a while back on the Holy Sabbath day. We learned it was a holy convocation. And a holy convocation means a public meeting, not sitting at home. If you're sitting at home, you're following the wrong God. Get off of your big butts and get where God wants you to be. Can I say it any plainer? Did I offend you? Good. Maybe it'll make you take action. Put your vanity and self-righteousness aside. Yield to God. Yield to the servant that God has chosen. You know, if you have an argument, don't come to me with it. Go to God. Tell God how wrong he has been. That he probably should have come to you. After all, if he was going to come to anyone and reveal anything, he certainly would have come to you, wouldn't he? No, he didn't come to you. He came to me. And you all know this truth because I have taught it to you. And God has opened up your minds to receive it. And that's the way God chose to do it. And if you're offended at that, tough. Now, you know the ones who are going to feel bad about not being here and not being here today, and when they hear this tape, not being here? The ones who are going to feel bad are the ones sitting home that should be sitting home. The ones with illnesses. The ones that have hurt or pain. And they can't be here because of that. And they're going to feel bad about it. The other ones sitting home in their own self-righteousness and glory, going to flip right over their heads. But I can assure all of you that are home for medical reasons, for sickness, for whatever, for real reasons, you know, we pray and wish that you could be here. That's why we supply the tapes, so at least you can share with us in what we learn and what we understand. For all of you, hopefully you can get well soon and you can be back with us. You are doing it righteously. It's the others who aren't. We don't put guilt, but we do say the truth. If the shoe fits, wear it. Snuggle right up to it. Wear it, put it on, and start walking and get to church. Honestly. What some people think, it's just, Satan really has fun out there. Okay, let's get off of that. But it comes by the hearing. Faith comes by the hearing. It's in the inspired word. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2. Just giving a little background here of what God says about faith. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God," these are the apostles, "when they received the word of God, which you hear of us," of course, they continue to preach it, "you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." You see, when the word is preached, the Spirit of God goes with that. And it comes into your ears, and you receive it because you know where it's coming from. It's not coming from a man. this doesn't come from me. It never has and never will. It comes from God Almighty. He is using me. He's using me as that conduit. He's using me as his servant so that I can speak, put it into words, so it can come into your ears and his spirit opens up your mind and you see it not coming from me. It's the message. It is the very message of the gospel of peace from Jesus Christ. And you accept it because it's the word of God. That's the process. You can't change that process. You may think you're changing the process, but you do it amiss, because this is the process that God uses. If you want to go out and invent your own, go ahead. God uses it this way, always has. Go back, look through your Bible. He doesn't change it. This is the way God always works. He always works this way. Galatians. Let's turn over to Galatians 3. A couple more things here on how he does this. It's important that we understand this. Galatians 3. This is a very important section. Starting in verse 2. This only would I learn to you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he's talking to the church. And he's going through this big conflict here in Galatians, because there was a bunch of Jews within the church that were believers that were going around telling the Gentiles and others they had to be circumcised. So it came down to faith or the law. He says, you received it. See, by that faith, the hearing of the faith. This is how you understand the plan of God. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? We've gone through that series. If you really want to know, write in and ask for our series. I think there's six sermons on that, six tapes in that series on the covenants. Ask for it and then learn. Okay, verse 5. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worked miracles among you, doeth he it by works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? It's always the hearing of the faith. It's not by the law. The law is good and the law should be done. But how are you understanding? How are you doing this? And how are these miracles brought? It was through faith. We're going to define faith even more here in a moment. We're going to talk about Abraham a little bit later. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? You know this principle. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Did you catch that? And the Scripture, foreseeing, this is all in the future, that God would justify the heathen through faith. And of course that happened to you as well. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You see, the word at that time, and through angels also, that God sent, they preached. They preached through Abraham. He preaches now through his servants, as he did with his prophets. And God preached. It's what you have to do. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. You, the first fruits, you, the just, shall live by faith. So do you have to have faith? Yes, you have to have faith. Can you get it on your own? Well, we'll see. Turn to verse 16. I'm just skimming through this and picking up a little bit about Abraham here now as well. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. We go through this very, very clearly when we go through this covenant series. So I'm not going to take the time to go through this. To cut it short, go over to verse 29. And if you be Christ, which we are, as first fruits with that Spirit, then are you Abraham's seed. We are the seed of Abraham. And the heirs according to the promise. That's what we are, brethren. And that's all through faith. Now how can just working up faith do all of this? But this is what faith will do. It's the way to eternal life, isn't it?